Gentlemen of the jury, you are the judges of the evidence to be laid before you. Be just and fear not, for the true administration of justice is the foundation of good government.
Famous jury trials, dramatizations of cases taken from actual court history. The names of persons and places have been altered to protect the identity of those concerned.
The state versus Charles Mack.
From a high tower, the restless, ghastly fingers of searchlights play all night long upon the state prison. Yet three men in convict clothes huddle close to the wall in the night shadows. Suddenly a rope is thrown over the wall to the waiting men. As they frantically scale the wall, the last man up the rope stumbles. His shoe scrapes harshly against the concrete.
Watch it, Dan.
I couldn't help but try.
Look, God, he spotted us.
Who's there?
Jump down, Pip, hurry.
Barbara, shoot!
The God, here he comes. Never mind him. He'll be taken care of.
The three men jumped quickly to the ground as prison siren wailed, and the pitiless glare of the searchlight swept the wall and the road outside. A few minutes later, the highway police were on the trail of the escaped convicts.
It's their car up there. They got a quarter mile start on us.
Give me the Tommy gun. We're close enough now, Sergeant.
Yeah, I'll let them have it.
Hit?
Yeah. Go ahead. Give it to him again.
You bet I will. Now give him the works.
I got him. Look at the car skid. They're gonna crash.
The getaway car left the road, crashed into a tree, rolled over and over. One convict, Dan Laddick, lay dead, riddled by bullets. Dead, too, was police officer Richards, killed by a bullet from Laddick's gun. The other two convicts and their accomplices in the attempted prison break suffered slight injuries. And now their ringleader, Charles Mack, has been brought into court to face the charge which the district attorney presents to the court.
And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, we will show that the defendant, Charles Mack, together with his accomplices, plotted this prison break with full consideration of every option, and were resolved, if necessary, to murder in cold blood anyone who opposed them. We will prove that in execution of their plan, the defendant killed the prison guard, Thomas White. And the state will ask that he pay the full penalty for his crime.
The district attorney then called to the stand his first witness, Arthur Noyes, warden of the Millerton State Prison.
Warden Noyes, where were you on the night of March 12th last?
I was at the state prison, occupied with my official duty. At midnight, there was to be an execution, and I had many details to oversee.
And what was your routine that night, Warden?
The execution brings many changes in our prison routine. We reduced the guard mount on the wall. Extra men are needed in the death chamber. And we have to double the men on guard in the cell block.
So, what guard was placed on the walls that night?
Well, that night, we only had two men. Thomas Hoyt and James Campbell.
Now, will you describe to the jury what you saw from your office window at 9 o'clock on March the 12th last?
Certainly. I just returned from examining the execution chamber. I found my secretary in the office.
Well, Warden, is everything all taken care of?
A little more for us to do. I hate these affairs, but there's nothing else we can do.
What's that?
Ooh,
this, on the wall, those men. They aren't guards.
Sound the alarm. Look, there's Hoyt. They've shot Hoyt.
Three of them. It's a break.
I know. Sound the alarm.
Right.
The tower light picked out the men as the shots were fired at the guard. Two of the prisoners on the wall had fired at Hoyt. I could see them plainly.
Plainly enough to identify them?
There were many lights and shadows. I couldn't distinguish their faces.
Thank you, Warden. I was cross-examined.
No questions.
The district attorney then called the ballistics expert to the stand, who quickly testified that
shots was fired from a .238 caliber gun found on the scene of the Rick getaway car.
Then the district attorney called to the stand prison guard Richard Andrews, who shared with the dead Thomas Hoyt patrol of the section of the wall over which the prisoners had escaped. Andrews testified that he had immediately run to Hoyt's assistance and was close enough to see.
And I could see Charlie Mack and Pip Morgan standing on the wall.
You saw them when they shot Hoyt?
Objection
sustained. Did you see the shooting, Andrews?
I did. There were 5 shots fired. 4 came from the prisoners on the wall and 1 from the ground outside.
Thank you. Take the witness.
Mr. Andrews, don't all prisoners look much alike to you when wearing prison garb?
Yes.
Were the defendants facing when you saw them?
Well, Charlie Mack and Pip Morgan were turned towards Hoyt because he saw them and yelled at them first.
You had no direct view of the shooting.
Well, I could see the shots being fired.
But would you swear that you could distinguish between 3 men wearing the same kind of clothes, with their backs to you, and at least 50 yards away from you at night?
Well, I don't know.
That's all. Let me step down, Mr. Andrews.
Paul, Frank Zachary.
Zachary, together with Joe Hughes, were the outside men who'd aided in the prison break. But Zachary, anxious to save his hide, had turned state's evidence. And so, as a star witness for the prosecution, he took the stand.
Zachary, you were the driver of the getaway car.
Yeah, and I didn't have nothing to do with the shootings.
What time did you park the car outside the wall?
About 9:05, like Charlie told us. Me and Joe Hughes did everything just like Charlie said.
And what were your orders?
I object, Your Honor. Counsel offers no evidence that the defendant mentioned gave orders or was the leader of the group.
Sustained. You were an acquaintance of the defendant, Charles Mack?
Yeah.
And over a period of several weeks, you had completed arrangements for the escape?
Yeah. I came up here to see Charlie back around March 1st, and he told me...
Look, Zach, you gotta get a couple of cats.
Who, me?
Don't ask no questions. Get me 238.
But you can't break out of this place.
Let me worry about that. You get those rods. Take them apart. Slip me one of the parts every time you come here.
Then Zachary testified on arrangements for the night of the prison break and made this explanation.
Me, I drive up in the car with Joe Hughes, see? I stay with the car parked outside the wall and the motor running, all set to scram like a bat out of... ready to scram, like I say. But Joe, he gets out with a rope, just like Charlie told us to. Joe walks to the wall, slings the end over, 9:02. All the time, I'm sitting in the front seat, hands on the wheel, like I say, waiting for the guy.
And could you see what was happening at the wall?
Oh, sure. I can see okay because they got them torchlights jumping around all over the lot.
And what did you see happen?
Joe Hughes slings the rope, like I say, and then I see Charlie reach the top of the wall first. He leaned over so he could help the next guy and fellow there.
May the record show the witness is pointing at the defendant, Pip Morgan.
Yes, it may be so recorded.
Go on, Zachary.
Well, I'm watching close, so I see the last guy claim up top. Fellow called Dan Laddick. Want to go bumped up.
And then?
Well, the shooting started. But I see what's cooking because I was watching the wall. I see Joe standing on the ground close to the wall. I see Charlie and Pip and the guy that got croaked on top of the wall, letting go at the guard with their 28.
Did you see anything else?
Yeah. I seen Joe Hughes taking pot shots at the guard, too, from the ground. Then the 3 guys jump down and join Joe. They beat it for the car and pile in, and then we slam out of there fast, see? Because the cops closed in fast, so we didn't get far.
Thank you. Your witness.
Zachary, you've told the court that you often visited Charles Mack. Suppose you tell them now what Mack had to say about Danny Laddick.
I don't remember.
Come, Zachary. You appear to remember all other details of your conversation.
Well, Charlie mentioned the guy, but I never seen him before he hopped in the car.
Weren't you told that Danny Laddick had engineered everything? Didn't the defendant tell you that he had no stomach for the escape, but that he feared Danny Laddick would kill him if he didn't follow through and do as he was ordered?
Objected to his incompetence.
Sustained.
You stated a moment ago that Danny Laddick had been mentioned in your conversations with Mack. What was said about him?
I don't remember.
Don't remember or don't want to remember? Which, Zachary?
He's answered it.
Yes, the same.
Mr. Zachary, isn't it true that you narrowly escaped conviction for attempt to bribe a witness in court 2 years ago?
That's objected to.
But will the district attorney admit that Zachary was acquitted solely for lack of sufficient evidence? And that the judge in the case indicated that in his opinion the innocence of Zachary had not been proved?
Stop that. I'll have none of it. The objection of the district attorney is sustained. You may proceed.
Did you win a severance of your case, Zachary?
Don't know what you mean.
Did you agree to testify for the state?
I am, ain't I?
In return for a separate trial later on?
No objection, Your Honor.
Did you hope to get a lighter sentence that way?
Your Honor, the witness cannot be cross-examined with regard...
And perhaps the district attorney will tell me why. This man has a sudden lapse of memory.
Gentlemen, I've warned you both.
But I will not let the defense insinuate...
But this witness, Your Honor, in order to justify the severance...
He has not forgotten any evidence, but your question...
Order! Gentlemen, please, order!
Both the counsel for defense and the district attorney were reprimanded sharply by the judge. And after an apology to the court, the state rested its case. In a moment, we'll return for the defense of Charles Mack. And now we return to the courtroom where the defense attorney dominated a hushed audience as he reached the climax of his opening address to the jury.
And so, ladies and gentlemen of the jury... We will prove that the defendant is completely innocent of the killing of the prison guard. That he and his comrades were the unwilling dupes of the convict Laddick, now dead and beyond the reach of justice. As my first witness, I shall recall Warden Arthur Noyes.
The courtroom gasped, for none had expected defense to make this surprise move. The warden took the stand and was examined as to Dan Laddick's character... And then...
Warden, will you describe the general appearance of Dan Laddick for the jury?
Laddick was an unusually heavy man. I believe he weighed 210 pounds, although he was only 5'4".
Did this gruff overweight make him unusually clumsy or awkward?
It did.
Was he agile enough to climb a rope without help?
I shouldn't think so.
That is all, Warden Noyes, your witness.
No question.
The defense called in rapid succession a number of prison attendants who confirmed the warden's testimony of Dan Laddick's character and disabilities from overweight. The district attorney did not cross-examine. Then the defense called the highway police sergeant, who was sworn in and took the stand.
Sergeant, were you the first man to reach the wrecked car?
Yes, sir. I hopped right out of the squad car and covered him with a gun.
What did you find?
Scrap of junk and a couple of guys on the ground.
Where did you find the body of Laddick?
In the back seat. Wasn't much seat left on it.
What did you find in his hand?
.38 revolver.
Is this the gun, the one marked Exhibit A?
Yeah, that's it. A little nick on the handle. Yes, sir.
Did you find any other gun?
Yeah, there was another one lying at the dead guy's feet.
It was another .38?
Yes, sir.
Is it the gun marked Exhibit B?
Yes, sir.
Did you find other revolvers at the scene of the accident?
Yes, sir. Two others. One was a .45, the other was a .22.
I asked the jury to note the fact the two revolvers of .38 caliber were found in the immediate presence of Dan Laddick. One in his hand, the other at his feet.
The defense then called the fingerprint expert who testified...
I examined the guns displayed to the court as Exhibits A and B. Both were badly smudged. But a number of clear prints were found, and these coincided with the prints of the deceased Daniel Laddick. I discovered no other clear prints.
The district attorney cross-examined the expert, who admitted that the guns might have been wiped hastily. Then the defense called the defendant, Charles Mack, to the stand.
Tell the court about your first meeting with Laddick.
I meet him the first day I land in Sir. I take a look at him and I start to laugh. He don't look much different from a beer barrel, so I laughed.
What did Laddick do then?
Well, we was out in the yard for exercise, and he looks at me with them pig eyes of his.
Look, punk, nobody laughs at Dan Laddick. Wipe that grin off your pan.
Hey, what's eating you? I see something funny, I usually laugh.
Sometimes it ain't so funny. Come on, get up, punk. Still think I'm funny looking?
Easy, damn coward. Here comes the guard.
Hey, what's going on here? Get up, Mac. Now, what's going on? Who sucked you, Mac? Come on, speak up.
Me? I guess I stubbed my toe. Wasn't looking where I was going.
Come here, Laddick. Yes, you. Mm-hmm. Let me see your hand.
Sure. Here, see?
You hit this man?
Don't even know him. Never saw him before.
Uh-huh. Well, you come with me, Mac. We'll let the doctor take a look at that lip of yours. You'll need a couple of stitches.
That accounts for the scar on the corner of my mouth.
Now, Charlie, tell us about the arrangements for the break.
One day, Dan starts talking to me when we're out in the yard. And he says,
keep your mouth shut, kid, but you and your pals are in.
What do you mean, in?
You won't be in here for much longer, kid. I got big plans.
You mean for a break?
Yeah. Well, what's the gripe?
I don't know. I'm not keen about trying anything like
Listen,
that.
Listen, kid, you ain't got no choice. You wouldn't want to feel an ice pick between your ribs, would you? Ain't you learned the guys in here do as I say? You know I don't fool when I give orders.
Why grab me into this if I don't want to?
Look, kid, a guy's got the hot seat on March the 12th at night. By that time, I got to have two guns, and you're going to get them for me or else.
Yeah, but what?
I got plans, I said. I got things all set for a route for the getaway car. Now, here's what you got to do.
You got hold of the guns then, Mac?
Yeah. I was scared, Atlantic.
What happened the night of the break?
Well, Dan sure figured things right. Just like he said, nobody misses when the boys are locked in. But while we're waiting with Dan by the wall, me and Pip try to get him to go it alone. Then he pulls a gun on us. He keeps the gun on us all the way up the wall to the top.
Then you didn't have a gun?
No. Dan was always shooting on top of the wall, and then we jumped down and run for the car.
Did Laddick have you covered all the time?
Yep, the whole time.
Thank you, Charlie Mack. Your witness.
According to your testimony, Charlie, you were responsible for obtaining the gun.
Yeah, more or less.
And you turned them over to Laddick.
Sure. He knew where to put them.
Didn't he tell you where they were, and didn't you get them the night of the break and then hand them over to Laddick?
Nope. He had them all the time.
Now, Charlie, if I understood you correctly, Dan Laddick was the last man up the rope.
That's right.
Did you go first?
Yeah. On account I can climb fast. Besides, when I had a gun on my back.
And the defendant, Pip Morgan, came next?
Yeah. Pip was second. I give him a hand up.
Then what did you do?
Pip gets a hold of my leg so I can lean down and pull up Danny.
Did you catch both his hands and help him up?
No. I catch his left mitt in both my hands and pull. He's got a gun on his right, don't forget.
And when you pulled him to the top, what did Laddick do?
When he gets his feet on top, his shoe kind of slips and makes a noise. The guard hears it, and then the shooting starts.
But, Charlie, you could have disarmed Laddick as you pulled him to the top, but you didn't. Why didn't you try to disarm Laddick at the wall?
I couldn't. He's got me covered, and I don't want to stop no slugs.
The district attorney continued his examination of Charlie. He shot question after question at the defendant, asking him again and again why, if his story were true, he had not forcibly disarmed Laddick when the opportunity came during the scaling of the wall. Charlie's story remained unchanged. It was confirmed in every detail by the third man, Joseph Hughes, who testified,
I was outside the wall, holding the rope, that is, until the shooting stuck.
What did you do then, Joe?
I dropped the rope and start for the car.
Did you see Mac, Morgan, and Laddick jump from the wall?
Yes, sir. Charlie Mack is first. No, it was Pep Morgan. That's it. He lands on his feet, and then comes Charlie, and then Dan Laddick.
Did you notice whether Laddick was the only man with a gun?
That I did. He had both of them, one in each hand.
And neither Charlie nor Pip had guns?
No.
Your witness?
Joe, a moment ago, you said Charlie Mack jumped off the wall first.
I was wrong. It was Pip.
You told the court that you had a good look at the man as they jumped from the wall to the ground.
That's right. I could see good on account of them big lights.
But you also said that you ran for the car the moment the shooting started.
Well, no, not right away. I started moving when Charlie hit the ground.
Then Charlie was the last man down and not Dan Laddick. And it was Charlie who held the guns and not Dan. Or maybe Pip held one of them off.
Your
Honor, I object to this patent attempt to confuse the witness.
Objection sustained.
The district attorney followed up quickly with other questions addressed to Joe Hughes, attempting to elicit testimony that one or both of the other men had been carrying a gun. But Joe, his composure restored, stuck to his original story. Then the defense attorney rested his case and began his summation to the jury.
Your Honor, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the Honorable District Attorney would have you believe that the defendant is guilty of the killing of the guard, Thomas Hoyt. And by the defendant, I mean the other two men who will be tried at another time. His entire case rests upon the assumption that the convicts Charles Mack and Pip Morgan were voluntarily assisting in the prison break of Laddick. He has offered no proof to show the defendant bore a gun at the moment of the assault upon the guard. On the other hand, we have shown on evidence from the wardens and other officials that the deceased, Dan Laddick, was capable of conceiving the plan of the break and executing it with complete disregard for the lives of others. We have shown further that Laddick was the leader of this break in which Mack and Morgan were forced to participate at the point of a gun. The testimony of all witnesses points to the guilt of the deceased, Daniel Laddick. And in the face of this overwhelming evidence, can anyone believe the defendant has been proved guilty beyond a doubt? I say to you, Charles Mack is innocent. Your verdict must be not guilty.
The prosecution will sum up.
Your Honor, ladies and gentlemen, the defendant, Charles Mack, has admitted that he arranged for the necessary outside aid to effect the break. Yet the defense contends this was done from fear of the deceased, Daniel Laddick. Although Mack and his pal Morgan were at all times under the protection of the guards in the prison, these men have admitted that they were in a position to overcome and disarm Laddick had they so wished, both at the time they were in hiding preparatory to the run for the wall and later atop the wall. The sincerity of their desire to avoid participation in the break appears highly suspicious in the light of their admitted failure to realize opportunities offered. I also urge you to remember the confused testimony of the other witness, Joe Hughes. In one breath, Hughes admitted that at least one of the defendants carried a gun when jumping from the wall, thus refuting the entire case for the defense, and in the next breath, denied what he just said. Now, when was he more likely to have told the truth? When not thinking of the consequences of his answer, or afterwards when denying his own words? There can be but one verdict. The defendant is guilty as charged.
How would you have judged the defendant? Was he guilty? Or had the dead prisoner, Daniel Laddick, driven Charlie Mack and the others at the point of a gun, forced them against their will to participate in the fatal and futile prison break? We will bring you the actual verdict in just a moment. And now, back to the trial of Charles Mack. The jury deliberated for 12 hours before they returned to the courtroom with their verdict.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, have you reached a verdict?
We have, Your Honor.
How do you find?
We find the defendant guilty of murder in the first degree.
Charles Mack was sentenced to death. And at a later trial, Pip Morgan was also found guilty and executed. Joe Hughes received life imprisonment. And so ended another famous jury trial.
famous jury trials, the drama of the courts drawn from actual courtroom cases. This is a Grace Gibson radio production directed by Lawrence H. Cecil.